May the words of my lips and the thoughts of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Kind of curious, isn't it? It's as if we're being tested. Last week the gospel reading was really, really long. This week the gospel reading's really, really, really long, and we have a really long Old Testament lesson as well. It's as if the lectionary writers have thought, okay, it's Lent, so they don't have the Gloria. How do we fill in the time? I know we will use really, really long readings, and then they'll get out to their normal time, but you know, it gives a bit of a challenge to a preacher because, you know what preachers are like? They know words. They know many words. They know big words as well. And they're not afraid to use them. So what am I going to do today? Well, in the spirit of knowing that Lent isn't supposed to be a time of misery and long readings and long faces, here's a little story that takes seriously humor as an essential part of our Lenten observance. Once upon a time, in a nice little forest, there lived an orphaned bunny and an orphaned snake. By a surprising coincidence, both were blind from birth. One day, the bunny was hopping through the forest while the snake was slithering through the same path. The bunny tripped over the snake and fell down. "Oh my," said the bunny, "I'm terribly sorry." This is an English bunny, remember. "I didn't mean to hurt you. I've been blind since birth, so I can't see where I'm going. In fact, I'm also an orphan, so I don't even know what I am." "It's quite okay," said the English snake. "My story is pretty much the same as yours. I've been blind since birth and never knew my mother. Tell you what, I could slither over you and figure out what you are." "Oh, that would be wonderful," replied the bunny. So the snake slithered all over the bunny and said, "Well, you're covered with soft fur, you have really long ears, your nose twitches, and you have a soft, cottony tail. I'd say that you must be a bunny." "Oh, thank you," cried the bunny in obvious delight. The bunny then suggested to the snake, "Maybe I could feel you with my paw and help you in the same way that you've helped me." So the bunny felt the snake all over and remarked, "Well, you are scaly and smooth, you have a forked tongue, you're impossible to pin down, and you have no backbone at all. I'd say that you must be a politician." See? Laughter in Lent. Who could have thought of that? On reflection, the gospel of the man born blind is a joyful story too. Imagine the man's elation at having his sight restored. As the story develops, though, the all-seeing Pharisees move to spiritual blindness by putting on the blinders of the law. They cannot recognize Jesus or his works of mercy because they have tunnel vision. And they have tunnel vision because Jesus doesn't fit in with their particular worldview or their particular view of God. Meanwhile, the blind beggar, the one who's just had his sight restored, goes on to gain insight. Insight about who Jesus is and the way that God actually works in the world. And he begins to see how pathetic and shallow the Pharisees really are. Now, one of the many things this gospel reading contains is a critical theological lesson. Disability and illness do not come from personal sinfulness. It surprises me that it still needs to be said. For too easily can we hear those who describe themselves as Christian tell us that some illnesses have been sent by God as a punishment for sins. Or they wonder what some parents must have done to deserve disabled children. And just in case that paragraph is a little too subtle, let me spell it out. The preachers who said AIDS was sent by God and those who believe them. And there are too many self-righteous people who blame the parents for their children's autism, for example. We have to accept that God allows us to live in this imperfect world, one where we are prone to illness and disability. But that same God-given world also allows us freedom. Freedom to be creative in the face of adversity and to be compassionate with those who are sick and disabled. God, the source of all life, does not actively send bad things to us. Instead, he is our constant companion in dealing with such things. At the same time, God brings before us the example of Jesus. We are to bring light and healing wherever we can. But how are we to do this, and why? Well, the why involves seeing the miracle of Jesus in today's gospel as a symbol of the faith that comes to us when we are washed in the waters of baptism. We have been chosen, just like David in our first reading. And we have been anointed, again, just like David. We've been anointed to share in the kingship of Christ. We were once ordinary people, but now we have become extraordinary people. As St. Paul reminds us in today's second reading, there was a time when we were darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Just pay attention to those words for a moment. Paul doesn't say we were in the darkness, but we were darkness. This reminds us that there is no way we could escape darkness through our own strength or ingenuity. But through Christ, something remarkable has happened. Now we are light in the Lord. Again, notice the words. We are not in the light of the Lord. We are light. We've been given a gift, a grace that is meant to be shared, a gift that is meant to enlighten others. Now, faith is a curious thing. Those without faith can all too easily look as a fellow human being and see only a rational animal. But for those with faith, we see a fellow child of God. Those without faith can pick up a Bible and find only words, while those with faith discover the Word of God. Those without faith can look at the Eucharist and see only bread and wine. But those with faith experience the reality of the Lord's body given up for us and his blood poured out for us. But perhaps there is a great nuance at play here, because I have come across self-proclaimed Christians, people who claim to read their Bibles and claim to know the Word of God, who insist that it is not for us to help others who are suffering, who insist that it isn't part of God's plan that we aid others as best as we are able. Well, apart from being dumbfounded by such people, I pity them, because I know that they are so blind, there is not one thing I could ever say to them that would make them change their mind. And that's one of the reasons we have Lent. One of the tasks of this season is to let Jesus' light shine on our lives to illuminate those blind spots we have, and to put us on our guard for the times when we are way too confident about who we believe God to be, of how he works, of what he can do or cannot do. Lent should help inoculate us from being so consumed by our own religious vision that we miss seeing God where he really does work. But it's not as if Jesus has left us in any doubt as to what happens if we ignore him. I was thirsty, but you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, but you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick and in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. To be so close to God and his word, but to completely miss the point. Now that is blindness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.